Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
Well, welcome everybody, and today obviously is Monday, and a new week begins of faith and wisdom. I don't want you to forget those two key words, those two pillars of this moment and this season we're in, this crisis or any crisis, that you always have to have faith, which is God's word activated with our mouths, and believing God's promises, that living by faith in the promises of God rather than living by the promises we make, we're living by the promises that He makes. Nobody can promise when a virus ends, but God promises that He's with you and His healing hand is still alive and well, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So expect healing, expect divine health, that's faith. And use wisdom, which is, you know, following guidelines and washing our hands and being cautious but not fearful, being wise, but wise as serpents, the Bible says, but innocent as doves. Like, we believe that we can fly like doves, and we're innocent, and we're healed and healthy. But we also are going to be wise and, you know, slip through this disease and virus and avoid its complications. You know, I think of the times that the Bible was written, and I want to get to day five of our 30 days of rest. I skipped Sunday because obviously we had church services Sunday online, and I hope that you attended and enjoyed and experienced and entered in and worshiped with us. But these times are very precious to me, this one-on-one time with you. And I've been thinking about how when the Bible was written, there was pandemics of all sorts that existed in that time. The diseases that were spread in that day was far beyond what we experience, what we're experiencing even today. And we've had throughout history plagues that are worse than this. That doesn't minimize the one that we're in, because obviously we're responding to this differently and we're containing it as best as everybody's contributing to that, which is also a sign of love, I believe, in the world and through the church and through compassionate organizations and compassionate leadership, which is we're really all pressing pause around the world. We're all pressing pause around the world for the few that have the most susceptibility and the most defenselessness in their immunity systems. Like, we're really demonstrating love, that we're all supporting the cause to save as many lives as possible. And but these things have existed for years. And when the Bible was written, these pandemics riddled through Egypt and Israel and the historic Asia and all that, you know, the whole population of the world at that time in that region of the world. So that's why I believe that's why there's so many promises in the Bible about healing. For example, there's the laying on of hands of the sick for healing. There's the two people agreeing, touching anything that they may ask for healing, or for anything that they ask. There's the anointing with oil for healing, and there's the power of agreement. There's the gifts of healing throughout Scripture. The gifts of miracles. We see Jesus healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then there's this one that I was thinking about today, that it says in Mark chapter 16, these signs will follow those who believe. One of those things that He says there is, they shall drink any deadly poison and it will not harm them. And this really spoke to me, because this virus is a poison in a form, it's a form of poison. And I don't mean to just tell you everything I'm thinking right now, but I just want to get a few thoughts out to you, just so you know, feel the heartbeat of what God's showing me, what I feel, what I sense, what I believe is the now today word. But so this virus is like a poison, and I'm standing on the Scripture, and I know this might sound super spiritual or hyper spiritual for some people who are listening or watching, and maybe your family members might feel this is, you know, this is too extreme, but it really isn't when you think of we're walking in faith and wisdom. So I'm not saying just embrace faith and no wisdom. I'm saying both. Both can be true and both can be exercised. You can wash your hands because it's wise to do so, and you can believe that even if you drink any deadly poison, it won't harm you. You can believe that promise and wash your hands out of wisdom at the same time. Not one or the other. Oh, if I wash my hands, that means I'm not believing for healing. Or if I'm believing for healing, I can't wash my hands because that's showing a lack of faith. No. That's why I've been saying since the beginning of this, faith and wisdom. These are twins. These are partners. Okay? So this concept, though, of drinking any deadly poison and it won't harm us, Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, that wasn't meant to be a challenge to you to go out and find poison and to test this out. Let me guzzle this jar of poison and see what happens. I'm going to prove God's word is true. No, it means that in the course of life, when we come upon something that we eat or something that we drink or something that we breathe in, that if that's got poison in it, I'm believing the word of God, and with both my immune system and my angels and my shield of faith and the favor of God surrounding me like a shield and the miraculous power of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit, all those things taken in together produce healing in my life and in my body. I'm believing for that. I'm believing that for you as well. All right, next thing I want to tell you before I get to day five of 30 days of rest, which is really 30 days of grace, 30 days of faith, 30 days of promises that you can, you know, stand on and believe for and find peace from, overcoming anxiety, depression, worry, whatever. But the other thing that happened to me yesterday in church, and this is why I love doing our services live, this is why we're still producing and carrying out our services on our platform, on video, on TV, because I want to simulate or create the same environment in your home as we would have when we're in church together. And so I'm learning and listening to the Holy Spirit as much as I can, as best as I can. And so as we opened up the service yesterday, as I opened up one of our services, the first one actually is when I felt this or heard this, that praise is the antidote. Praise and thanksgiving and worship is the antidote for the invisible forces of the enemy or of a virus or anything. Because in this particular case, coronavirus, whatever the source is, whether it's a bat that somebody ate or whether it's whatever it is, whether it's cell poisoning, whatever the source of this, what is called coronavirus is, it's an invisible force that is attacking the lungs, right? The respiratory system of people's bodies. The respiratory is the breathing system of our bodies, the breathing in and the filtering of air and breathing in and the filtering of oxygen. And God has built this incredible system in our bodies to filter out. But one of the things, it's like we breathe in and we breathe out. One of the things that creates a healthy respiratory system came to me yesterday. And again, at the risk of sounding overly spiritual or too mystical, I'm going to say it anyway, because in Psalm 150, verse 6, this is the verse that came to me. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And I thought about how this is what the attack is against our breath. The attack is against healthy breathing, and the healthiest breathing begins with praise, because the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So when this is something physical, we're praising God, which is spiritual, but we're using our physical body and the mechanisms of our body to do what is spiritual. So that's why there's such a marriage between body and soul, body and spirit, spirit, soul, and body. But so I believe that as we even if we breathe in poisonous cells or viruses, I'm not saying to put yourself in those unsafe conditions. What I'm saying is, in the event that you're to breathe in that, the solution, the filter, is breathing out praise. Because this is what we were born to do. Like, the more we do what we were created by God to do, the more our bodies do what God created them to do, the more negativity that our bodies can defeat and destroy through all the forces that flow through our body, whether it be our immune system, our faith, our wisdom, our words, all of these things taken together are God's form of healing and God's form of victory in our lives. We have the victory through the blood of Jesus, but we enforce the victory through our words, through wisdom, through faith, through prayer, through church. You see, this is how we enforce the victory that Jesus paid for on the cross. Okay, so I just thought that really spoke to me yesterday, that praise, it says in one Bible verse says, praise stills the avenger. You know, praise stills the enemy. It silences. See, I believe praise kills viruses. And I'm not saying we don't want a vaccine. I'm not saying we don't want to wash our hands. I'm not saying any of those things. But I'm saying praise is part of the natural and supernatural mechanism of God, kingdom of God, operation of God that He has given us. And praise is not, you know, just kind of rambling words or just throwing words together that hallelujahs and amens and praise the Lord's. Praise is truly focusing on the celebration of who God is and what He's done for us. And as we, it's like the 10 lepers were cleansed. One, when he saw that he was healed, they were all cleansed. But when he saw that he was healed, he turned around and he fell on his knees and he glorified God and gave praise with a loud voice. That nobody told him, now on the count of three, let's praise God with the loudest voice. Even though we've done that in churches, and I've done that, we've all done that. But that's not what this leper, this man that had leprosy and was healed did. It was because he was focused when he saw, it says in Luke 15, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. It was his reaction to the fact that he saw, he was focused on his healing. He turned back, fell on his knees, glorified God. And that's praise. See, praise is spontaneous gratitude based on, as the overflow of what you're focused on. And we need to be focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, okay? So those are some of the things that God's been speaking to me. I hope that ministers to you and encourages you today. And day five of this book that we're gonna one day, you know, one of these days make available to you. I'm not trying to push anything. I'm not trying to sell anything. I want you to give to your church. I want you to give, if this is your church, I want you to give. I want you to tithe. I want you to offer. I want you to keep doing that. Keep believing God. Keep sowing. I continue to give and sow. And I want you to do that in your church if this isn't your church. But I want you to benefit from this regardless. So at the right time, we'll make these kinds of things available. But day five. Take your rightful seat. Just to go quickly and just remind you, day one, faith rests. Day two, Jesus did it all. Day three was the throne of grace. Day four was Jesus is your Sabbath. And day five, take your rightful seat. And it's rooted in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and also Ephesians chapter 1 talks about this as well. But it says, and God raised us up with Jesus Christ and seated us with him. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I'll just read what I wrote here. Notice here that God has raised us up with Jesus Christ and seated us with him. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is not standing as if there is work left for him to do. You see, he is seated. He's not standing because there's not work left for him to do. You might dispute that, but he's seated. and he's doing it from his seat. There's no work for him left to do regarding our salvation, regarding our blessing, regarding our healing, regarding our authority, regarding our dominion in this life. He is seated, which represents a position of rest. He has finished all that needs to be done for us to have salvation, blessing, healing, victory, authority, and dominion. He is seated in his finished position, and we are now seated with him in that finished position. And so I encourage you today, take your rightful seat. You know, in every kind of stage of life, we all have a seat. You know, when you're a baby, you have an infant seat. When you're a little toddler in the car, you have a car seat. When you are at dinner with your family, you have a dinner seat. You have a seat at the table. When you go to school, you have a seat assignment. When you go to college, you might have a seat assignment. When you go to work, you might have an office assignment, a place for you to be seated. Well, guess what? With all that being said, we need to not forget the most important seat, and that is where we are now seated with Christ. Our spiritual position is one of victory, not a effort to obtain victory, but a seat of victory from which we now rule and reign. Remember, we're training for reigning in these sessions and in our church services. So you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You're above this virus, not beneath it. You're above the circumstances, not under them. We all have our battles, our daily battles, but you need to live that battle from a position of victory, not to try to obtain it, but to enforce it with your words, with faith, and with wisdom. I hope that makes sense, and I hope you're encouraged by this day five and some of the things that I shared. I want to always encourage you that that this is a moment, this is an opportunity for us today and over the last few days and over the next several days or weeks. This is an opportunity for us to not be in a hurry to get back to normal. Let's be in a hurry to heal people. Let's be in a hurry to calm this thing down. But let's also be in a hurry to reprioritize our lives and to peel off the things that really, as we look and reflect now, were not that important. The people are what's important. I thank my God for every remembrance of you and for every thought of you, Paul said in Philippians chapter 1. I share his sentiments about you right now, me and you. I thank God for every thought of you and every remembrance of you. And I continue to pray with you with prayers of faith for your victory. And I declare a revelation of your seat, of your authority, of your dominion, and your position in Christ, that you could rule and reign and train to reign from the position that God has given you in Christ Jesus through his precious blood. Amen. Hey, I love you guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. If you need anything, please reach out and let us know, and I'd love to hear from you. God bless.